Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, The Game. It's been a long time since I've been able to say this. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Connor Newt here with you. Reunited, and it feels so good. For the first time in more than 2 weeks, we're all together. The two of you haven't aged a day since the last time I saw y'all.
You sure look about good. That? Oh, thank you.
You look great.
You look well rested.
I was telling Connor and Brandon Bigsby before we came on the air. They said, "How was your staycation?" Because I just stayed in town. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I was on dad duty all week, so it wasn't really a vacation. It was just I didn't have to go to work.
Yeah, I get that.
But we had a lovely week.
That's wonderful.
Kids are back in preschool today.
Oh,
my daughter's
first
day of preschool. My son's last first day of preschool. So there were some tears shed this morning. But I am very glad to be back in the saddle with all of you. Hello, Willie.
Hello.
Great
Welcome
to see you.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for holding it down for me last week.
Of course.
I listened some. It was good. Very good. Great, even. But yes, I am thrilled to be back with both of you, Connor, all of you. As I said, it's been, I think the exact date was July 16th was the last day we were all present at the same time. And no better time than the present, of course, to talk about Titans training camp practice earlier today. All three of you were at practice. You caught up with new wide receiver Wandale Robinson after practice. We will play that interview for you during the 4 o'clock hour, 4:20 to be precise. So looking forward to hearing that. I haven't heard it yet, so it will be new to me, like it will be new to all of you. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us at 3:40 for his weekly segment. But before we get into today's practice, since I was off last week and I was trying my hardest not to be plugged in. I mean, I could only help myself so much. I am human.
It was just itching you, man.
Right. But I tried to unplug. I tried not to pay attention to the sports world around me for a week. So for those of us like me who perhaps were also on vacation last week and are just tuning in to Titans training camp, I want to go around the room and I want a headline from the first several days of Titans training camp. Willie Donick, why don't you start? Give me your headline for how many practices have there been now? Four, five?
Six maybe?
Thereabouts?
Yeah.
Give me your headline from the first several practices of Titans training camp for those of us who are trying to catch up.
You want something specific or sort of a far-reaching catch-all for all?
You take it wherever you want to take it, my friend.
My headline is work in progress. I see a lot of the things that they're trying to do. All the stuff we've been told about Brian Daboll, all the things that we've been told about Robert Saleh, what Robert Saleh specifically wants to do with the defense, and the same for Daboll in the offense. And I see what they're trying to do, but it's a work in progress. There's a long way to go. There's some things that I really like. There's some things that I have major questions of how quick they're going to be able to make it cohesive, but work in progress.
All right, Derek, I will ask you the same question in a different manner. Give me your first week standouts of Titans training camp. Which players have stood out the most to you through the first several practices, good or bad? Let's start with good.
I think first is Elik.
Elik Guyman.
And we were talking about him earlier today. TD and I, and he's about his business. He's about his business this camp, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people headed into the season. So I have been extremely excited about what Elik has been able to do thus far. They were in pass today. We'll talk more about that, but that is my guy that I'm like, just watch out for him. I think this kid's gonna have a really good year.
Okay. Anybody standing out for the wrong reason so far during camp, Derek Mason?
Man, standing out for the wrong reasons, I would say at best the quarterbacks, and that's including today. They didn't look as good. There has been some good plays, but there has been some misfires as well. They're still building that rapport across the board with their receivers. So not that I'm disappointed in them, but they're going to have to pick up the pace. They are, starting with starting quarterback.
And we will get to Cam Ward's day in just a moment. Connor, you've been out to every practice so far covering Titans training camp and the Titans in general for us here at 102.5 The Game. Your headline, your major takeaway from the first few practices of camp.
I would say receivers in general. You're seeing some good moments from all of them. Like Imanner, as Derek mentioned. Let me say this without the big blue glasses on. Wandale Robinson has been pretty impressive. I asked him today, and you'll hear that later, next hour. But his work across the middle with Cam Ward is something to keep an eye on. They're comfortable with each other. They play to the advantages of each other's games. So they've been impressive. Carnell Tate, he's had his moments. He didn't particularly stand out today, but, you know, I've talked to you about this before, Adam, that iron sharpens iron matchup between Carnell Tate and Alante Taylor. I would go one win in the column of Alante Taylor today. So the other thing I would say is defense in general as a unit sticking out. You've got some play in the inside linebacker position with Cedric Ray, who's been playing really well. Anthony Hill's had some plays out there. The defensive line has made its moves. Jermaine Johnson is definitely a winner from the first couple of days of training camp. So good things and bad things. Like Willie said, work in progress. You got to see a lot more before I'm comfortable with this team. But good things and bad things.
How do we feel about Carnell Tate? Because he did the media session at the podium. The way he presents himself to the media is the way I see him play in and play out. He's very even-keeled. And, Derek, that is unlike a lot of wide receivers who tend – I don't know if I would say they all tend to be the same way, but I feel like there's more demonstrative emotion showed by most receivers. Carnell Tate is so icy cool. And, like I said, when he gets all these questions, he's just real matter-of-fact. But everybody seems to be glowing about his ability to pick things up quick. Mm-hmm. I'm very encouraged. I don't know about you, but what I'm seeing from him. It's not that he's catching 17 touchdowns per practice or anything like that, but he just looks beyond his years. I think because he's a young rookie. Dude, yeah. That point was made today.
I think what you've seen, it's sort of, you know, matching itself up to what's going on the practice field. And obviously what Daboll has said about him when it comes to learning the offense, the mental part of the game. The even keel demeanor, I think it comes from, just look at all of the Ohio State wide receivers. I don't think any of them have this demonstrative sort of attitude or, you know, this attitude of give me the damn ball. Or I think they all, because they've been accustomed to having to wait their turn because the room has been so deep with talent at that position at Ohio State. So he's taking that same thing. And then Hartline, I'm sure, is an excellent coach. But I'm wondering if, you know, are we setting this young man up for a task that he may not be able to accomplish this season?
We were talking about this, Derek, during minicamp, you and me. Remember, you know what I love the most, and by love I mean hate, the videos from practice with the slow motion and everything like that. It makes everything look like cinema. And Carnell Tate was the star of those short video clips for the Titans during OTAs, one-handed catches, and all of those things. And you and I talked about then perhaps pumping the brakes a little bit on the Carnell Tate hype train just because you're putting a lot on this kid's plate. And there's already a lot on his plate because he's the number four overall pick in the draft. We know the Titans' history of drafting receivers, especially drafting receivers at or near the top of the draft, it's suspect. So there's a lot working against Carnell Tate. So I can understand your point, but I think that that train has left the station.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But you once you get into practice and you understand, you know how difficult it is going to be for him day in and day out. And I'm not just talking necessarily the mental part, because yes, he is picking up on the offense pretty well, and he seems to be on pace. But, you know, the grind of camp hasn't started yet. And I know what happens in the grind of camp, even the best of them. They wear down a little bit because they've never been through this type of grueling sort of 2-a-days. And get it, granted, I know things have changed, but yet and still, they're going at a pace that probably they didn't go, like, all the time. And everything now means so much more. So it's like, let's wait for this kid to get through camp. Let's see some preseason games of him. He's going to wow us. I know that. But I don't want to get to a point where, you know, we expect – you know, him to just carry the load when it comes to the receivers, when he still has a developing quarterback in the new offense with offensive line developing. So there's still things, as talented as he is, there are still things that are working against him.
Let's talk about today's practice, mm-hmm. The first practice in pads. It's a big day when the Titans put on the pads for the first time this season. From all accounts that I've read and I've talked to the three of you, Cam Ward had a solid day. I've even seen some reporters say it was his best practice yet of camp. However, the headline appears to be two interceptions that Cam Ward threw. I want to get y'all's takes on those because you were there. But first, let's hear from Robert Saleh on those two plays, two interceptions from Cam Ward today at practice.
Rolling out through across his body, interceptions. How do you try to balance, like, approaching that? You don't want to take the stinger out, so to speak, but you still want him to be more cautious.
Yeah, those are, I don't want to say they're non-negotiables, but throwing across your body, especially shallow, it's different if you really extend the pocket and it just really opens up for you. But when there's so much traffic in there, the one that Jermaine made was an elite play. You know, that's your check down with regard to a boot. Jermaine made a hell of a play, but usually that check down's, you can count on it being open. But the first one that Hooker intercepted probably was a poor decision.
So, Willie, you were there. Let's break down these interceptions, because from what I've read, both interceptions came on basically the same play in terms of what Cam Ward was trying to do. But you were there. You saw it. What did you make of those two passes in particular?
First, I would agree with some of the other things that we saw at practice today, because I do think this is the unfortunate part of what we take out of practice. The focus is going to be on these two plays when he ran, I don't know, 20 plays, but he had some really good throws in there, mm-hmm. too, some laser beams that caught. I thought he and Wandale Robinson had a lot of good connections today. In fact, all three guys, and this is what we're trying to find out, you know, do they have, we talked about this in a lot of detail on Friday, can they find the right roles of Robinson in the slot? Ridley is more of the deep guy. He doesn't have to do it all. He can just play to his strengths, and then Tate being that solid rookie who's ready to help, does a little bit of everything. If the chemistry between those three is right, and then Ian Manor and DK, who have some great rookie experience under their belt, can fit in as the depth, I mean, that really looks like it's got potential to be a lot better. And that was there today. I saw all three of the main guys we talked about all made nice plays. Mm-hmm. But Connor and I discussed this about the two interceptions. Patrick Mahomes kind of ruined it, I think, for all quarterbacks who have been taught their whole lives, don't throw across your body, back against the grain, over the middle, late. Like all those combinations, it equals disaster every time. Well, that was true until Patrick Mahomes started doing that all the time and making it. Because I remember watching Patrick Mahomes, D-Mace, when he was a young quarterback. I'm like, he's going to get burned on that. He's not going to get away with it. Sooner or later, they're going to figure it out. He's going to start. It never happened. But he is the exception. Mm-hmm. And Cam Ward, this is what we got to find out. He's got to weed that out. The non-negotiable part of it, I'm sure it was non-negotiable for Patrick Mahomes until Andy Reid said, you know what? He does that pretty well. Let's let him do it.
I look at it from this standpoint. One, you know, when Saleh says, well, it's usually open. It wasn't open that time. You know, it wasn't open that time. So don't let your quarterback off the hook that quickly. he should be able to see that that's not a throw that you should make. And that's where they have to get him to that point. And I know when TD asked the question, how do you sort of – there has to be a way. You've done this long enough as a coach, and you've watched others do it long enough. You've been around some great coaches. Hell, you was with a great coach in San Fran. So there had to be a point where, you know, in discussing that with Purdy, you overheard conversations or in the meeting. So there has to be a way that you can let your quarterback know. And I'm sure Daboll and they're working on that. But I'm upset that it happened twice. That's my whole thing. The first time, yeah, you can say, well, this happened. The second, well, make sure the second go around that you're not putting yourself. I know it's practice. I get it. I know you want to have that arm arrogance. You know, that's being thrown out there, but arm arrogance in a situation where you really don't need to have it because you already threw an interception. That's my whole thing. Just learn from those things. Because if it looks the same way, more than likely it's going to be the same way. That's why I'm not going to let him off the hook that quick. Now, outside of that, his day was, he had a really good day. He showed the ability to throw in tight spaces. He threw some deep balls. He was accurate with a lot of his things. And he did dirt a few. But those two situations, like, those are the things that get you beat in games. You can play a fantastic game, and you have that one mistake, and that is the difference from you winning 21-17 or losing 21-24. So stuff like that. So I'm not just going to dismiss it, but I'm not going to be – you know, overly critical of it too. I'm just saying, hey, listen, you got to be better your second go around because it was the same exact scenario.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Quickly, Matthew in Nashville says, I need Willie's thoughts on the Mets trade deadline moves today. Thanks for Luke Weaver, by the way.
Well, when TD comes on at 3:40, TD and I have already had each other's back today. We've already had some therapy. The Mets are dismantling half of their roster today as we speak. Yeah, D-Mace is still trying to
get
over
the Scooball. We'll get to Tarek Skubal later.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
I'm like, wow. That's really the one. But, yeah, the Mets.
Your Mets, yeah, man.
They're trading everything they can get something.
People trading stuff, guys trading tickets.
Yeah. It's a fire sale in Queens. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans first practice in pads. As Willie mentioned, Teron Davenport will join us at 3:40. But coming up next, we were just talking about Cam Ward. Let's talk about his predecessor as Titans starting quarterback coming up next, because Will Levis, out of witness protection, addressed reporters the other day for the first time in more than a year, and he had some interesting things to say. We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. It is a Reaction Monday. We are reacting to the Titans' first practice in pads of the season, and Reaction Mondays are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville.
I feel like I was a kid when I got here. I've definitely turned into a man, and there's still a lot of growing that I need to do, but I think what I touched on earlier, just on the mental side, being able to not care as much about what other people say or what other people think. I feel like I worked a lot for other people's approval in the beginning of my career, and whereas I'm just trying to be the best version of me at this point, and I have more confidence than I've ever had because of that. I don't need to go out there and win X amount of games before I can feel the confidence. Like, I have the confidence right now. I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So,
do you still have the faith that you have a future as a starter in this league?
100%. I know I'm, I think there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
That was Will Levis the other day breaking his silence, and that is an appropriate usage of breaking one's silence, because we had not heard Willie Donick from Will Levis in more than a year since he underwent shoulder surgery. But that last part, that went around the NFL world over the weekend. Will Levis saying, and I quote, "There are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me." And if you looked hard enough during that news conference, you could see Levis blinking "Save me" in Morse code. But first time we've heard from Will Levis, Willie, in more than a year. And I'm all about self-improvement and I'm all about mental health. And if Will Levis needed that 1 year to get away from football, I think he said he hadn't been away from football like that since he was like in like second grade or something like that. So if he's in a better headspace, that's great. Congratulations to Will Levis. And I mean that sincerely. But there aren't 32 quarterbacks in this league better than him. He's the third string quarterback on his own team, which by definition means there's at least 64 quarterbacks who are better than him. But what were your thoughts on Will Levis' first news conference in more than a year?
I really thought I had mixed feelings about that. He hadn't been in the spotlight in a long time. He's always had that type of trait in the way he talks. And I've always felt like he talks confidently. He doesn't play confidently. So it's like, you know, you want to see what he's saying translate to what you're watching when he's playing. I think it's 100% fine to say, I feel like I'm one of the best 32 quarterbacks. There's a different way to say that, a different time to say that. And I think that's what has hurt him in the past with his approach off the field, you know? And so I just think it was not the right time to say that. Not the very first time you take the podium, mm-hmm. especially when you watch the practices, he is taking the reps as the third team. I was curious when Trubisky got out there if they would split the reps with the second team. That has not been the case. And so I want to see it. I want to, because D. Mace, it's the mm-hmm. same thing. He will throw two or three passes where you're like, dang, mm-hmm. wow. That was big time. And then there's the mistake that you're saying that's still the thing that is holding him back and always has held him back.
Connor, play that clip again for me, because there are a lot of interesting things within what he said that I do want to comment on.
I feel like I was a kid when I got here. I've definitely turned into a man, and there's still a lot of growing that I need to do. But I think what I touched on earlier, just on the mental side, being able to not care as much about what other people say or what other people think. I feel like I worked a lot for other people's approval in the beginning of my career, and whereas I'm just trying to be the best version of me at this point, and I have more confidence than I've ever had because of that. I don't need to go out there and win X amount of games before I can feel the confidence. Like, I have the confidence right now. I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So,
do you still have the faith that you have a future as a starter in this league?
100%. I know I'm. You know, I think I'm. There are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
Well, and listen, I do agree with Will Levis from this standpoint. There are not 32 quarterbacks in the league that are starting that I believe is better than him. But there are enough that you're not a starter at this moment. And they believe there's two on your team that are better than you. But when you talk about talent, I've always said it. I don't think there's 32 quarterbacks as talented as Will Levis. But how he plays, sort of, yeah, you got the talent, but do you have the know-how to put it all together with the mental side of the game? Can you process it fast enough and do it consistently enough to prove to us and other people that you are a starting quarterback? I think that's the part that he's missing. It's not that, you know, scouts don't believe you have the potential or you have the tools. There are a lot of guys that come through this league with potential. But then there are only a percentage of those guys that come through here that are able to put it all together. And those guys typically last in the NFL. The part that he's also missing too is this. Listen, you may not get that many more shots. You may not. This isn't the wide receiver position. This isn't the running back position where you rotate. This ain't the tight end position where they're rotating them all the time. No, there's one quarterback at a time. And you're only going to get an opportunity is if that quarterback gets hurt or if they're blowing somebody out. They've seen what you can do, Will Levis. And again, I do agree, from a skill set, from a potential, what he has as a quarterback? Yes. I would say he's better. I could point to a couple of teams, if you're just talking about his physical attributes, that he would be better than that said quarterback on teams right now. But again, it's not all about that. You got to be able to you make people in that office live on a roller coaster. And they don't want to live on a roller coaster, not with a quarterback. Because again, yeah, you said it. You have put it on tape. But you also put the bad on tape, too.
I was just about to say, no one is forgetting the surrender Cobra memes from 2024 with hands behind head after throwing ridiculous interception after ridiculous interception. That is who Will Levis is to the rest of the NFL. And yes, he's put some damn good throws on tape from 2 years ago, but those plays are not going to outweigh all of the ridiculous turnovers he had as the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. And this is why I feel like it's in the best interest of everybody, Will Levis and everyone within the Titans organization, to find a way to part ways. Because I do believe that Will Levis will be a distraction. And I don't think Will Levis is going to sound off at a news conference and speak ill of Cam Ward or throw anybody under the bus or anything like that. But just his presence, even as a third-string quarterback, it's kind of awkward. And you know that if Cam Ward struggles, people will be like, well, you know, if we squint hard enough, Will Levis wasn't that bad 2 years ago. Let's give him another shot. I just rip the Band-Aid off. As Derek said, there are plenty of teams out there who have major quarterback problems. And maybe one of those teams will talk themselves into Will Levis. But I just think the longer he's on the roster, the more awkward it becomes.
Well, that's why I think it was ultimately not the right way to go. Like, what he seemed to be saying in that answer was, I hope I get traded. Somebody, I want to be that guy. I can be that guy for your team. I'm out here.
Right, he was talking better, to the rest of the league.
I'm better than some guys that have jobs on your team. Mm-hmm. So consider trade. Because I'm sure this has been the backdrop of his whole summer, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or even going back to the spring at the draft, there was a lot of, hey, well, Will Levis get traded during the draft? Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened. And so he's probably sitting there going, what do I do? And I think the best thing, even though it might be the easiest, it may not be the easiest thing, is to just – don't say anything. Be the team guy. Go out and play well. And that would take care of itself. I'm not sure he helped himself get traded. If that's what he wants, by doing what he did.
I understand. You know the situation he is. I truly do. Because, you know, for 3 years I was in that Will Levis space. You know, having to prove it all over again, over and over again, doing some good things, and you're still not getting that opportunity. So I get when he goes out and he works his tail off, and he's, you know, in his mind, I've gotten better mentally, I've gotten better physically. Now only thing I need is that opportunity. I get that part. I get it. And you want, anytime you're in front of a mic, especially your first time, you want to let people know that I've been working damn hard and I believe I've improved on certain areas or whatnot. I just need that chance. So you want your name to continue to be in the front of people's minds. But I think, you know, the way you go about it, you may end up causing more of a distraction than anything. Because I didn't think he had a particularly good practice today. But listen, he's not, unfortunately, I know Salah said it's a competition, but come on, it's not no competition.
It doesn't
Trubisky
appear that way.
Trubisky is the backup quarterback. Yeah.
When he said that, I wanted to look to see, and Trubisky missed the first practice, so Levis got to run with the twos. So I was curious if we were going to see things that would lead you to believe they actually really are.
And Will Levis knows it. Will Levis knows it's not a competition. That's why he said some of the things he said the other day. He understands, as much as Salah said this is a competition, Trubisky didn't come here to be the third string quarterback and then to pay him that money to be the third. No. Will Levis knows he's in an uphill battle. He's not going to get the reps that he needs to show. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get many, if all, reps in preseason. It just depends. you know. So I can't 100% fault him for doing what he's doing, because listen, when you're in that situation, it's like, man, I didn't say anything last year. I was going through my whole rehab and all this other stuff. And then you finally get an opportunity to say something. So I understand that part, but I'm not sure if he helped himself any, if at all, with that.
My message would be dominate the third team. Mm-hmm. Dominate those reps. If you're what you say you are, one of the 32 best quarterbacks, then you should stand out when it's threes versus threes. That should be the mindset that he has to have every day. And it, you know, you can privately say, it stinks. I know it stinks. You think you're better, and you're kind of in limbo right now. And the next chapter, you want that next chapter to happen. But all you can do right now is go out to practice and impress. That tape is going to be out there. You don't need to say mm-hmm. all these things. You just have to – people know who you are. They know who you are around the league. There are scouts for a reason, and there are always teams that need quarterbacks.
You don't need to be the best of one of the 32. Will Levis, you had a point. You just need to be one of the top 64.
Right.
That's all you need to be. Yes, step one is be the top 64.
And at the moment, on the depth chart, he is not one of the top 64.
Exactly.
Because he's the third string quarterback on the Tennessee Titans.
I've said this, and I still believe it. I think he can be easily in the top half of the backups in the league. I think he should be in this league for a long time if he plays his cards right. But with the bravado, like some of the DNA of a backup quarterback is the guy that doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Just ready. Hey, when I need to step in there, I'm ready.
Let's quickly go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Derek. Derek, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm not a Will fan, but quite, to be honest, I'm not a Cam fan yet. I wasn't mm-hmm. a Steve McNair fan until he did what he did. You know, I just renewed my PSL for the new stadium. $20,000. You invest that much money and you invest your time, you want people to do well. So, you know, I'm out on all of them until you get out there and perform. But my biggest thing is, I don't know that if he would have got up there and said, I'm the 64th best quarterback, that anybody would have paid attention. I don't mind some confidence. And if he would have got up there and timidly said, oh, I'm okay to play still, I'm not very good, I want to see the confidence in him. And I know you guys are the same. I wish him well, and I hope he does well. But I think anybody that would listen and him go, I'm the 64th best quarterback out there, I want to know that you think you're what you are. I want to see you get out there and improve. And I'll always go back, guys. I'm a little bit older. All these quarterbacks, and when I was in my youth, had an opportunity to do something before they actually started. Now we throw them out there. We pay them so much money. I get it. But at the same time, a lot of these quarterbacks learned, and in their first 1 or 2 years, we've seen that with Darnold and other quarterbacks that's went over to different places and done well. But I don't blame his cockiness. I wouldn't want to hear that. I wouldn't have hired him or wanted him if he would have said, I'm the 70th best quarterback. I want to hear a little confidence. Always great to talk to you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you. He got a point. I get it. Hey, I'm the 64th. Right. I get it.
But there's a way to say it
and
a way not to say it. Because especially where he is in the on the map right now.
615-737-1025. Will Levis, a couple of days ago, spoke for the first time in more than a year to reporters. And he said, and I quote, there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. We'll take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join the program. We'll get his thoughts on practice today and more. That's coming up next, 615-737-1025. Speaking of training camp, you can keep up with Titans training camp here on 1025 The Game. Player interviews, including ours with Wandale Robinson, coming up at 420 and more to get you prepped for the upcoming Titans season. All of our coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Hello, TD. How are you? TD, you there?
He's checking the trade tracker right now to see if any more Mets pitchers have been traded today. They've traded about half of the staff.
I got you now.
Hey, we got you, TD.
I got you now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm chilling out, man. I'm coming to you live from the cold tub over at Protocol, boy. This is quite an experience, I'll tell you that much.
Man, the Mets got you in the cold tub. Wow. Goodness.
Man, I got to do something to cool. My temper's flaring. I got to do something to cool it off, you know?
He's cooling off the fire sale that's going on
there it is.
In Flushing right now. But, Teron, let's start with Will Levis, because we were just talking about Will Levis. He addressed reporters the other day for the first time in more than a year. I know you wrote about it for ESPN.com. The one quote that made the rounds, quote, "There are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me." Here's my first question for you. How do you feel like Levis handled his first news conference in more than a year? Do you think he said the right things? Would you have recommended he massaged some things? What did you think of Levis's performance at the podium?
No, I think for the most part, he handled himself well. And I mean, you look at his ability, it's there. The only thing is just like when you go from the neck up, that's when the question marks come. So for him to talk about being able to process some of the things that he did and work mentally to not play, to prove himself to others all the time. I mean, to me, that was always the reason why you saw him pressing. So I think it was good to talk about that. However, I think he could have been more accountable when Terry McCormick asked him about 2024. You know, I think he could have focused more on, yeah, maybe not one guy is responsible for it, but I played a big role. I think that probably would have been better. But, I mean, you're always going to have something to nitpick, you know, about somebody's podium session. But for the most part, he held himself well. I thought it was pretty good.
Unsurprisingly, Teron, the two interceptions that Cam Ward threw today at practice are getting most of the attention, but let's look at the big picture. How would you evaluate Ward's overall performance today? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I think he played well overall. I mean, the two interceptions, and the thing you got to remember, D-Mace, we were standing right there watching it, and we know that stuff that he can't do, but, I mean, it's better to learn that in practice, right, than in a game, so... I'm going to look at those mistakes and you know, take them for what they are. They're a mistake. You learn from it and move on. And I think when you look at what Robert Saleh said, you know, obviously the one to Hooker, it was a poor decision. Like, you don't throw across your body like that. Now, the second one, to give a little explanation, he was throwing across his body to what is normally there, a check down, right? But as Saleh said, Jermaine Johnson made a really good play, and he was able to intercept it. But if you look at the throws and D-Mace again, you know, we were watching. Cause, you know, we both were going to talk to Wandell Robinson, so we were watching that. And there were some shots that he fitted in there really, really good. In fact, one of his big detractors, you know, after the interception was like, hey, what about where are the good throws? And we're like, hey, man, did you see that one, and that one? So he had good throws, but – I mean, look, there were mistakes that I'm sure he would want to bring back. But again, it's better to do it now than, you know, in September.
TD, yeah, we were talking about that. My whole thing with those plays was, yeah, I understand it. I'm not going to make excuses for the quarterback. He has to learn that he can't do that, especially not twice. But even with those throws, he has some really good throws. He showed he can put it in tight spaces. He shows his ability to navigate the pocket and take the check down when it's there. But those other things do need to get better. Now, talking about the passing game, one guy that we talked about a lot today on the sideline was Alec Allmanner. What are you seeing from him? Because I think he's the one guy that is truly standing out, even when you talk about Carnell Tate, but people aren't talking about Alec the way I believe they need to be.
Yeah. Real quick side note, Willie, Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor to the Cubs for their number two prospect, Jefferson Rojas. We'll see about that. But,
two more guys gone.
How many players is that now traded by the Mets today?
Six or seven?
I mean, it's probably, like seven.
Jeez.
But, Allmanner, and I asked Saleh about him also, and it's pretty cool when you have a guy tell you something he's going to work on, come back and say some of the things that he did to work on it, and then you see it happening. And he wanted to work on, like, the confidence and playing more aggressively and consistently. And Robert Saleh commended him for the body language, for the ability to play with that confidence because of the preparation that he put in. And you're seeing it. I mean, it wasn't as much in the OTAs and minicamp, but
training camp came, and it's like that dude, I don't know, he made went to see the Wizards and got some heart, man, because he's like playing with an aggressiveness, and you see him going up and attacking the football. I remember, 3 days ago, you know, Cam rolled to his left, and he sidearmed one to Iron Manor, and I mean, like, it was one of those, like, he mossed Cordell Flott, you know what I mean, rather. Grabbed that ball, turned, and outran the safety to the end zone, and then you saw what he did at the release point, a little whoop, and it got, you know, was able to stack Michael Robinson, and you know, Mitch Trubisky went and threw it to him, and it was he ran it down and caught it. I mean, you're seeing that guy be a big-time threat, you know, on the deep passes, back shoulders, et cetera, as well as the intermediate, that dig route, you know, 15 to 20 yards. And that's where it takes a man to play right there in the middle of the field, and he's doing it.
Now, we're not going to be able to see all of that if the offensive line doesn't, you know, protect Cam a lot better than what they did last year. And J.C. Latham is a guy. And you never know what a guy is going through unless he actually says it at that moment. And a lot of guys typically keep what's going on with them. They tend to keep it close. It's not until afterwards you find out. And what I found out, or what we all found out about J.C. Latham is, you know, I wonder, you know, you can understand why he played the way he played last year, considering all the things he couldn't do as far as build strength. So how are you looking at that, seeing how he looks now, and how do you project that?
Well, if you remember, he was a part of that first team period, but then after that, he worked on the side, and then we saw him walk over in front of us. He didn't take part in the remaining team period, so you have that. I'm glad that he shared something that really offered a lot of perspective. And when I told you this, like, it really resonated with you, and that was the fact that the man during the regular season, because of the hip injury, couldn't do any lower body work. I mean, as a football player, period, your lower body is where it's at, but especially as an offensive lineman, to not be able to do that, it kind of changes the way you look. I'm not saying you make an excuse, but it changes things. And I think, you know, for him, whatever is going on that kept him out of a team period today is something that, you know, you hope he could work through quickly, especially for a guy like that who's, you know, in a mental space where he's doing everything he can to, you know, have the confidence and, you know, not let one bad thing spiral into another. And you like to see him be able to get through whatever he's working with.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're talking Titans on training camp, the first day of pads today. Teron, let's slide over from Latham's spot. How do you I'm seeing Slater. I keep wanting to call him Jackie Slater.
Oh, Jackie Slater.
That would be
Rams.
Good, right? Jackie Slater was really good for a long time. But Schlotman and Slater, are they grabbing the jobs, or do you still want to see more before we think that they're going to get the start?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to see more. It's really, as Salah said, you're going to see guys rotating at that position. It's hard to, after one day in pads, say where you know somebody should or shouldn't be. It's going to continue to be a competition. I mean, we saw Cordell Volson get out in space on that one screen, D-Mace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I say, he was running like he had you know, the super Timberlands on, you know what I'm saying? So this team is obviously going to want a screen, and your guards are really important in that. So, you know, that's something that Volson's going to have to do better in the coming future. So I don't know, man. It's a competition, and I guess we're going to see, especially, you know, joint practices and the preseason games, where it's going to fall out.
Teron, one of the things that can be really entertaining sometimes is when you get a very boisterous skill player, but a lot of times a wide receiver. I don't want to put all the divas, not because we have a wide receiver in our presence here, right? But it's fun to see the swagger sometimes. I think Carnell Tate is an exception. I love the icy coolness. With him at the podium today, he's just real matter of fact. He's all business. And when you watch him play, he keeps that even keel. So what do you make of that DNA?
No, I think that's a part of just the smoothness. And you spell it S-M-O-O-V-E. You know what I mean?
Right.
On purpose. It's part of that he brings to the table. And it's almost like He's mature beyond his years, you know, and you like that. You like a guy that is never too high, never too low. I mean, it's very much like, you know who it reminds me of? Frankly, I'm not saying he's the same player, so everybody chill out, right? But I'm just saying the personality is Larry Fitzgerald. Like, if you remember, you never saw Fitz, like, you rarely saw him spike the ball. He would just hand the ball to the ref. He was always even keeled. When stuff was bad, he was one way. When stuff was good, he was the same way. And I think that's what we're seeing early from Cornell Tate. Again, I'm not saying he's the same player, but I'm just saying personality-wise, you see similarities there.
How do you think that meshes? Because I've watched Tate and Wandell Robinson, who I also think is a pretty even-keeled guy, not a super emotional player from play in and play out. How do you think that mixes with Cam Ward? Because they've both said how direct Cam Ward is. And when you watch Cam Ward practice, you will see emotional outbursts sometimes.
Yeah, I think it mixes well in that, you know, hey, okay, you got one guy who is going to, you know, show the emotion and be fiery. And you have the other guys who just, they're in their own lane and they're even keeled. And that's fine. I mean, and I don't think it's too much of a roller coaster with Cam Ward either. He's almost always excited, it seems like. You know, so I don't think there's too much of a difference because they're just as direct. You know, I talked to Wandell Robinson today, you know, about some of the things that have been going on. And he was very direct saying, you know, how it has to go as opposed to how it went and what's going well also. So, I think it's a good match, a good blend.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation. Titans reporter has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Monday. Teron, enjoy your cold plunge, my friend. Maybe within the next hour, 5 more Mets players will be traded. We'll all find out together.
Hey, listen, I don't care what it's, no matter what, go Mets. We just got to watch them celebrate the 40th anniversary of the 86 Mets.
That was nice.
The last championship. And I don't know, Willie, if you saw bobblehead his words for David Stearns, but, you know, I'm with him. He's not with the analytics side of things. You better look at the intangibles.
That's a great point. Baseball is still played by people, last I checked. That's some interesting characters on the 86 team. Ray Knight dropped a nice F-bomb, too, on the broadcast.
That was the crew, man. That was the crew. You
got to
love them.
All right, TD, catch up with you next week.
All right.
615-737-1025. You heard Teron Davenport mention Wandale Robinson there. Willie, Derek, and Connor also caught up with Wandale Robinson today. You'll hear that interview at 420. 615-737-1025. We've got some more reaction on Will Levis we'll get to. Plus, one member of the Tennessee Titans organization who apparently has a lot at stake this season. I heard an interesting discussion about this. I want to bring it to the show coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.